You guys remember, were you in the school when we did 11th grade trips to Lakewood? You were, and we went to, you were not, okay? And we went to Rav Matzio Solomon's house, remember that? So I'll put you on the spot.
I don't know what he said.
Oh, come on, you remember what he said?
No.
When you were in 11th grade, did we go to Lakewood? You don't even remember if we went, okay? It was a long time ago, all right. So for several years, we would take our 11th grade students on a class trip to Lakewood, and we would have the opportunity to visit with Rav Matzio Solomon Shlita, the Lakewood Mashkiach, and he would always give a short schmooze to the guys. You know, the Rebbeim would try to position ourselves so we can get a picture with him, and schmooze them a little better. Every year was the same schmooze, because we would always go before Shavuos time, and I guess, you know, he pulled out the file in his head of, you know, modern Orthodox high school kids, pre-Shavuos. You know, that schmooze. So one year I said, you know, the schmooze is so geschmack, it was just as good as last year, or something like that. And he's like, I said the same thing last year, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I didn't mean to make him uncomfortable. I didn't. But anyway, he would say the same thing every year, so that's why I remember it. You only heard it once, I heard it every year. He would say that, you know, schmooze, man matan Torah seinu, so he would always talk about something related to Kabbalah Satorah. This week's parsha is Kabbalah Satorah, so he would always talk about something related to Kabbalah Satorah. And he would ask a very intriguing question. You know, the Midrashim tell us that before offering the Torah to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to other nations, and each nation issued a challenge. You want us to have the Torah? Maksivba! What does it say in this Torah that you want us to have, that you want us to observe? And Hashem would respond with whatever mitzvah would be the most challenging mitzvah for that nation. Whatever would be the most difficult for them to do, so Hashem would say. So if it was a murderous people, he would say, it says you can't murder. If it was a people that stole the light, you can't steal. If it was a people that committed arayos, can't do arayos. He would always say whatever they really liked to do, that's what, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would single out. Oh, we don't want it. We're not interested, right? We all heard this medrash, even as little children. Rav Matzio raised the following question. We never asked Maksivba. We never asked, what is it saying? What if we would have asked Maksivba? What was Hashem's response? What was he ready with? Which mitzvah would have been the mitzvah that Hashem would have said, oh yeah, let's see if you could do this one? That would have been like our greatest nisayon, that we wouldn't have been able to, you know, that we would have imagined that we're unable to stand up to that nisayon. It's an intriguing question. What would have been that, if Hashem had to choose one, what would have been the one that would have discouraged us from accepting the Torah? Or, the Chidush HaRim puts it a little differently, he asks, isn't it unfair that we got the Torah without being challenged? You know, without being told, hey, here's a big challenge. So the Mesvir of Matzio used to say that Lashon Hara, he thinks Lashon Hara would have been that mitzvah. That we would have been told, oh, you can't speak Lashon Hara, you can only, and all the halachas from Sefer Chavetz Chaim, and we would have been like, no, that's crazy, that's impossible. God, you know that one day the internet's going to be created, right? I mean, it's impossible. But maybe there are other suggestions as well. So that's question number one. What would Hashem have said? Question number two, when we think about Kabbalah Satorah, so sometimes our minds immediately start thinking about Shavuos. And what do we read on Shavuos? We read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis tells us that when Naomi tested whether Rus was willing to do all that's necessary to be a Jewish woman, so she asked her daughter-in-law, would you be willing to follow the dinim of Tchum Shabbos? Gemara Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Yeah, you really want to be a Jew? Are you sure you're ready for Tchum Shabbos? Also, a very odd choice. Are you sure you're ready for cleaning for Pesach? That's what you ask a Jewish woman. And that's, you know, give something challenging. Are you sure you're ready for Tchum Shabbos? Klei Chemda and Parshas Peshalach points this out. What an odd point, an odd detail. Now, granted, whenever we convert anybody, we always have to give them mitzvos, mitzvos kalos, mitzvos, mitzvos chamuros. You have to give them a sampling, some things that are hard, some things that are easy. But still, even of all mitzvos kalos, why Tchum Shabbos? And third question, Gemar Nyuma Tafayin Vav tells us that Yeshua had received man keneged kol Yisrael. So Rashi on the spot says that Yehoshua deserved man keneged kol Yisrael as a midah keneged midah, because he's the one that stood at the edge of the mountain of Har Sinai waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai, this week's parsha, Yehoshua stands there at the edge of the mountain waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why he gets man keneged kol Yisrael. What has one got to do with the other? What does man have to do with waiting at the foot of Har Sinai? So again, three questions. Number one, what would have been the challenge that Hashem would have offered us? Second, when contemplating Kabbalah Satorah, Megillas Ros, so Naomi says, Tchum Shabbos? Why Tchum Shabbos? And Yehoshua gets man because he waited for Moshe Rabbeinu at the edge of the mountain. Well, what's the connection? So I heard from my good friend Rabbi Shai Schechter that the Chidushei Arim suggests a very insightful answer to the first question. He says, the truth is, Chidushei Arim says, that Hashem did test us with the mitzvah. That's antithetical to our very nature. We didn't have to ask Maksimva. He already did it. We already were tested with such a mitzvah that is exactly the opposite of everything that, of all of our inclinations, of all of our natural inclinations, when left to our own devices. And we passed the test. What was that test? Hashem said to us, "Al yehasu el Hashem liros." Can't get too close to the mountain. There's going to be an intense hashra'as hashchina. You have to know what your boundary is. We as Jews are not good with boundaries. We have a difficult time being told you can come close, but not that close. Respect someone's space. It's a great challenge for us. In our very nature, when someone is sick, when someone's going through a difficult time. So in other nations, their nature is try to ignore it. Put it out of your mind. Don't think about it. We're not like that. We want to be there. We want to be on top of it. We want to be involved. We want to be... And that's great. But where we run into trouble is not just that whenever there's trouble, we run toward it, but we always want to know more. Our curiosity always gets the best of us. So to be told to stay behind a certain line and stay there, that was the ultimate test of our dedication to Torah. We're naturally inclined not to accept limitations on our access or on our powers or on our connection. And maybe that explains why Nami questioned Rus about Tchum Shabbos. Rus, you want to be a Jew? You sure you're ready for boundaries? You sure you're ready for limits? And it's symbolic of a lot of Judaism that there are limits. You know, there are Kohanim that could do things Levim can't do, could do things Yisraelim can't do, and like, well, what did I do wrong? I'm Yisrael, it's not my fault. Yeah, but you know, that's sort of what you were born into, and you have to accept that. I thought maybe that's the connection between the man and Yehoshua waiting at the foot of the mountain, because if there was ever a symbol of God's approval of a class system within Judaism, it was the way the man fell. It fell for tzaddikim closer to their homes and in a more prepared state than it did for Beinonim. And for Beinonim in a more prepared state and closer than it did for Rishayim. When Yehoshua demonstrated that he understood, I know where to stop. I know where I can get to and no further, Hashem says, you deserve the man. Meshchachm explains that the Gemara is not telling us about extra man that fell for Yeshua. Keneged kol Yisrael? What's he going to do with all that man? He got all the man, like the amount that the rest of Bnei Yisrael got? No. But that for 40 days after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people were sustained by the man that they had in the zechus of Yeshua. That it was his zechus that sustained the rest of Klal Yisrael. All the man that fell during that time was in Yeshua's zechus. And the zechus that provided man for 40 days was Yeshua standing at the edge of his limits for 40 days. Yeshua understanding his own limits for 40 days. So if our greatest heroes achieved so much by doing a lot of things, but by understanding their place, understanding their roles, we have the reverse as well. Some of our worst villains in the history of the Jewish people demonstrated the opposite midah. They just couldn't accept limits. They couldn't understand their role. Korach's platform for rebellion. Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim. All the Jews are holy. Nobody should have any limits. There's no difference between Korach and Moshe and any other Jew. Why should this one be the Kohen Gadol? Why should that one be a Melech? Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis says that already very early in his career, Haman exhibited this terrible midah. When Achashverosh needed advice about what to do with Vashti, Haman was the lowest ranking of Achashverosh's advisors, the Gemara tells us, listed last, and he responded first, as if he was the ultimate authority. The Katan Poseach Barishan, Hedyot Kofetz Barosh. The simple one, the idiot, who jumps to be the first one to talk, instead of listening and allowing the more senior official speak first. So Rav Shai pointed out that one of the great challenges of our generation, of the internet generation, is that everybody who feels that they're entitled to express an opinion somehow is granted an audience. Because all you need to do is, you know, start a blog or comment on a popular blog, or, you know, everyone has a voice. It used to be that if you wanted to offer a halachic opinion, you'd write a tshuva, and that would be subject to peer review. You have to write a tshuva with halachic logic, and the other great Talmid Chacham would read the tshuva, and they'd have to figure out, you know, do you have the goods, or do you not have the goods? Now, anyone could just shoot from the hip in a way that appeals to every Amaretz in the world, and that has nothing to do with Torah way of thinking about things, and make a tumult about anything. Say that I just read Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld wrote I don't know if you call it a hasid, but a little thing for the OU website in memory of Rav Belsky, Zichron Levracha. He said one of the things that bothered Rav Belsky more than anything else was, you know, when some psak halacha would make its way on the internet, and like everyone said, oh, this is the new chumrah, the new thing. It was like all amaratzas. No one knew what they were talking about. And it's just like, because that's the way things spread nowadays. Yeah, you gotta study it, you gotta learn it, you gotta know it, it has to be real. So it's natural to want to do this. We're Jews, we're aggressive, we're forward thinking, we're growth oriented, and that's good, but it's also our greatest nisayon. We have to appreciate the knowledge and righteousness of people who are greater than us, and realize that we're not a bar plukta with people who are much, much greater than us. You know, if you understand a little bit about the Jewish hierarchy, it actually is not frustrating or disappointing at all. It's pretty exciting and invigorating to take a step back and appreciate true greatness. And sometimes people complain, why did these why did these Rosh Yeshiva and whatever get to make all these decisions about what's considered part of our Mesorah, what's not considered part of our Mesorah, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And it's very frustrating if you don't know them. But if you actually expose yourself to Gedolim, you actually sit at the feet of Gedolei Yisrael, it's quite invigorating. It's a very tiny feeling. You feel very, very small. But it's an amazingly small feeling. It's like this exciting feeling of smallness. That, you know, I think I'm such a Rashka Bahag, I'm like, you know, big stuff, and then like you sit in front of someone and it's like he's so many levels above me, so far above me. I'm reminded, we were talking to Rav Schechter, I think I told you guys earlier, we were talking to Rav Schechter about, Rabbi Levin was asking Rav Schechter about gel caps, the kashas of gel caps. And Rav Schechter said, yeah, it's not roi l'achila, I think it's mutter, but Rabbi Belsky says that it's aser. Because Rabbi Belsky said, if you can melt it in warm water, it's very edible. If you could just melt in warm water, it's very edible. So Rabelsky says that it's asr. But I think it's mutter. I don't think it's roi l'achila at all. Most people don't know you could even melt in warm water. So we said, oh, okay, so it's mutter. So Shechter like turned white. He's like, no, you can't do it. Rabelsky said it's asr. He knows Yerodea backwards and forwards. He's been teaching Yerodea for 40 years in Torah Vadas. He knows about every prima god in Baal Peh. So you have to be machri for Rabelsky. It was like very jarring to hear, you know, because we think of Rav Schechter as the big bucky, but it's pretty exciting, you know, to see these levels of godless in front of you. I don't know if Rav Bachman's here today. Someone's doing Bechinas for Karen Biavner. Rav Bachman used to say that sitting in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein is sitting in front of whatever it is, 400 times Shas, 600 times Shulchan Aruch, whatever the numbers are, the crazy numbers. This great tiny feeling. You heard of Rav Scheinberg, when we met Rav Scheinberg, he expressed the awe he felt in front of the Chafetz Chaim. That feeling is also part of being a Jew. And that feeling is part of what allows us to be Mekabel the Torah. It's recognizing a tchum, recognizing a border, recognizing a boundary of where we're allowed to go and where we're not allowed to go, both in Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, in terms of respecting other people's space, respecting other people's privacy, and respecting other people's dignity and the respect that other people deserve and people that are greater than us deserve, and knowing what our own place is and growing naturally within that, and sometimes, you know, moving up in the world, but slowly, naturally, in a proper way, without pushing through those tchumen that we're not supposed to be pushing through.